Hello, and welcome to the live retail online integration webinar, How to Amp Up Your Holiday E-Commerce Sales, sponsored by UPS. I'm Joe Keenan, Managing Editor of Retail Online Integration and the host of today's event. Before we get started, let me point out a few quick tips on how to make the most of today's live webinar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the Help widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the Q&A box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select questions at the end of the hour, but you can send them in at any time. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can utilize all of the widgets and bells and whistles on this console. Speaking of bells and whistles, please click on the Tips for Attendees widget below to learn what all of the widgets on this console do and how you can customize your experience today. Here today to discuss strategies that your brand can implement to drive online sales this holiday shopping season are Melanie Alavi, the Corporate Retail Segment Marketing Manager in UPS's Retail Segment Marketing Group. Melanie is responsible for UPS's Direct Consumer Program Strategy, helping UPS retail customers grow revenues, improve customer experience, and expand their customer base. Melanie is joined by John Lawson, the CEO of online retailer Third Power Outlet, a seller of apparel and accessories. John is also the founder of the e-commerce consultancy, the E-Commerce Group, as well as being the president of Colder Ice Media, which publishes blogs and articles about e-commerce. So without further ado, I'd like to pass it over to Melanie to get us started.
Great. Thank you very much, Joe. I'm delighted to be here with you all today and share with you some of the high-level findings that came out of our second annual UPS Pulse of the Online Shopper. And before I do that, I just want to give you a little bit of background on the research and some of the methodology behind it. As I mentioned, this is our second year doing this study, and UPS really wanted to embark on this journey to better understand how logistics, shipping, and post-purchase services can impact the customer experience, specifically to help our customers better serve their customers. So in this survey, specifically for the United States, we in February did conducted through ComScore, we sent an email link to over 3,000 consumers, and they filled out a 20 to 25 minute survey that they finished online. And our primary criteria was really to make sure they were somewhat of a online shopper. So they had to make at least one purchase online within the last 3 months. So you can see from the slide that I'm going to bring up for you now in 1 minute. You can see that we broke out the survey into three different buckets of online shoppers. We had those that were kind of light online shoppers, which were making two to three online purchases in a typical 3 months. There were about 1,200 in that category. And then there was about a little less than 1,000 that fell into a, sort of a medium online shopping segment of 4 to 6 online purchases in a typical 3 months, and then 7+ online purchases in a typical 3 months. So your heavier online shoppers, we had about 800. And after that, we balanced the data to make sure they reflected the age and gender distribution of the total online population. So next, I'm going to share with you some of the high-level findings of the checkout and shipping preferences of these consumers. So one of the most important questions that we asked was really what do consumers consider important at checkout? And what you can see in this slide here is that aside from free shipping, which I will tell you, free shipping kind of comes out in the rest of the survey, anything that is sort of labeled free is always kind of bubbles to the top. And while we do obviously believe that's important, and I know John's going to kind of touch on that a little bit in his presentation, we also want to look beyond that. And one of the major findings that we had that came out of this for the second year in a row, and this probably doesn't surprise many of you that are avid online shoppers, consumers are really looking to have an estimated delivery date and shipping costs. They're looking to have that early in the process so that they don't have to enter in all their information before they find out how much everything costs. So not only are they looking for the estimated delivery date period, they want it early on. So that's kind of a very important key finding. And like I mentioned, something that's kind of come up for the second survey that we've done. Aside from that, they're also looking for basic things like having a variety of payment options like PayPal, 49%. They want to be, you know, have the convenience of being remembered so they don't have to rekey information and have order history. But providing that estimated delivery date is certainly an important key takeaway that if you're not doing that early in the process, that's something that you're going to want to consider implementing if you can before you get ready for your holiday season. On the next slide, we really wanted to ask about cart abandonment. So here specifically we asked, A, have you ever abandoned a cart when shopping online? And not surprisingly, this year versus last year, more people have abandoned the cart, 88% in 2013 and 81% in 2012. And what has not changed really, though, is the reasons around cart abandonment. And shipping costs are two, you know, of the big culprits here. You'll see 54% saying they've abandoned the cart because shipping costs made the total purchase cost more than expected. And the second, I wasn't ready to purchase, but I wanted to get an idea of the total cost with shipping to compare against other sites. Two other things, though, that we like to point out for retailers, aside from those, are, you know, a lot of people, and I'm sure you guys can relate to this, are abandoning carts because they're not quite ready to purchase. So they place items in the cart, but they actually want to save the cart for later, or they simply get distracted and forget to complete the purchase right then and there. So one of the tips that we certainly like to remind retailers that or online retailers that aren't already doing this is to make sure that you're employing a marketing company to send those reminder emails, hey, you left something important in your cart. Do you want to go ahead and purchase it now? That's an important piece as well. Another one I'll point out is the fifth one down, which shipping and handling costs were listed too late during the checkout process. That ties exactly into the slide that we talked about before, once again reinforcing the fact that consumers are looking for shipping and handling costs early in the process. Okay, so another question that we wanted to kind of get an answer to was how many people are actually adding to a cart to qualify for free shipping? And you can see that this year versus last year, you know, there's an increase in terms of the number of people that are actually adding to a cart to qualify for free shipping. This is a question we get a lot from retailers, a lot of people wondering what their free shipping strategy should be. And certainly we're in agreement that testing and free shipping promotions is a good idea, but creating a threshold for free shipping is really a way that can help retailers ultimately get a higher average order value. So anything kind of over and above what your consumers are typically spending on your site is where you want to set your free shipping threshold. And then the last slide in this specific section that I wanted to share with you has to do with tracking. So not surprising to many of you, I'm sure, is the fact that tracking is certainly an integral part of the online shopping experience and very much expected. So 97% of our consumers surveyed said it's either essential or nice to have. But from our perspective, clearly we want to make sure that we're getting into the specifics about what kind of information consumers are looking for when it comes to tracking. And are they looking for email notifications of such information, or are they looking for text notifications? So we dug a little deeper this year to kind of break out those two mediums to better understand. What came out similar to this year to last year is the fact that consumers are really looking for convenience. So an email notification with a tracking number that you can click on right away to be able to track your package and get the status of your shipment is number one in terms of what consumers are looking for. Secondly, however, and one that shouldn't be dismissed, is the ability to track my shipment directly on the retailer's website. So oftentimes consumers are really looking for both. And you having a UPS API, as an example, embedded on your website obviously will get a consumer back to your website to shop more, but they're also expecting and wanting that ability to track directly on your website. So those are some of the major takeaways. The next section that we wanted to share some of the high-level findings have to do really with the delivery experience. And one of the major pieces that we found important was, what are consumers really looking for when it comes to shipping options at checkout? First, we wanted to understand what they expect to see, and then secondly, we also wanted to understand what they actually select. So what you can see from this slide here is that while 78% are the most often select an economy ground option, you can see that across the board they expect to see a variety of options, with 46% expecting to see a next day air option and 58% expecting to see a 2 or 3 day air option. While the numbers go, you know, dramatically down in terms of people actually selecting those, they clearly want that as an option for situations where they need it, and that's going to be particularly important, as you can imagine, during the holiday season to make sure those options are available. The other part that I wanted to point out here is that many retailers may not consider offering a second ground option. And you can see here many consumers expect and select the most economical ground option, which tends to be, generally speaking, a 5 to 7 day time and transit option. But also you can see 16% are actually selecting most often a ground option with a 3 to 5 day time and transit. And as you see in parentheses there, for an additional fee. So they know and understand that that additional fee is going to be there, as many retailers are choosing to make that economy ground option, you know, their cheapest option or potentially even their free option. In some cases, consumers really are willing to upgrade and pay an additional fee for a faster ground option. So that's an important takeaway. Okay, next we looked at specifically shopping cart abandonment as it relates to delivery time. So we asked the question, you know, how many of you have actually abandoned the cart specifically due to delivery time? And this year and last year was a similar number, but 44% of shoppers have abandoned the cart specifically because of the delivery time given. So what's interesting here on this slide, and one that we like to point out, is 21% actually abandoned because no delivery date was provided. So this once again ties back to the very beginning, where consumers need the confidence and they expect to see when exactly their package will be delivered, as well as the cost. But in this case, no date was provided, so therefore they abandoned. So that's a clear, you know, if for some reason you're not already showing that, that's something that certainly needs to be done as soon as possible. The other big thing here that you'll see is 53% in this donut, the time that is shown at which they're abandoning is 53% of the time is 8 days or more. So most are jumping off at that 8 day or greater mark. And you can see kind of the breakdown on the rest of the slides. But essentially, you know, the majority are jumping off at that 8 day mark. So that's where you really want to make sure you have at least options that are getting your merchandise there more quickly than 8 days. The next slide I wanted to share with you has to do with omnichannel options, and specifically an integrated cross-channel experience. So one of the elements that we added this year to the survey that we didn't have last year were angles of what consumers are looking for from a mobile shopping experience, a social shopping experience, as well as an integrated cross-channel experience. So what you can see here specifically, what we asked consumers was, on a scale of 1 to 7, how likely would you be to shop with a retailer if the following were made available to you? So most often on a, you know, this top two box means they either scored a 6 or a 7 on that 1-point scale. So 62% scored either a 6 or a 7 that they wanted the ability to buy online and make returns at the store. So that's the number one integrated cross-channel experience that they're looking for, one that you would probably expect. I think most consumers are expecting that. The second one that sort of surprised us was the push of a coupon slash promotion to my smartphone because the retailer knows I'm in the store or close by. So 47% saying this is going to make me shop more with that retailer if that retailer offers this kind of location-enabled service. 44% said I will shop more with that retailer if you give me the ability to buy online and pick up in store. And I think that's one that we're seeing, obviously, increasingly frequently. Many multi-channel retailers are using this pickup in store option as a way to offer free shipping in some cases. So another call out here on the slide that we've got is the fact that shoppers who use location-based and social services are much more interested in this cross-channel experience with significantly higher top two box. So they scored all of these much higher than even what you see here. So those that are already using location-enabled services, you might assume are kind of the more savvy shoppers in that sense of using the mobile medium and the location-enabled services, are even more likely to expect and want those cross-channel experiences in a retailer. And just one more slide that we wanted to show you on this kind of honed in a little bit more on ship-to-store, and we wanted to understand more about ship-to-store and what the general attitudes were. Why are consumers choosing ship-to-store? Now, this question we asked was a check all that apply. So you can see that, you know, 38% checked that they choose ship-to-store to qualify for free shipping. So over a third are choosing that really because it's a good free shipping option for them. And over another third are also saying, or convenient if the retailer has a store nearby. So generally speaking, it's convenience. But if you look at that third box there, you see 25% checked on the box that said it's inconvenient because I shop online so I don't have to go to the store, period. But generally speaking, you can say that those that are choosing ship to store are doing it because they want to qualify for free shipping or because it's convenient. We also asked here, so how many of you have actually selected ship to store in the past? And this is what this box calls out here. 51% of our consumers surveyed said they've actually selected that in the past. And we, of course, wanted to better understand, you know, well, when you went to pick up your item, did you actually purchase other items while in the store? And over a third, 38%, actually said that they had purchased other items while in the store. So that's an important piece to understand. Obviously, we all know that that drives foot traffic and people are actually really buying things when they're there. So the last section that I wanted to share with you today is perhaps a topic that no retailer, online retailer, wants to talk about, and that's returns. But, you know, this is a very important piece, as we all understand as online consumers ourselves. No one's going to really have the confidence to continue to buy from you unless your returns policy is clear, easy to understand, easy to use, and you know you can return it if you need to. And so those are some of the kind of major key findings that came out of this, our return section. So I'll share some of the specific stats with you. As you can see in this next slide here, this year versus last year, we have a higher percentage of people having even made an online purchase. So 51% of consumers in 2012 said they'd made an online purchase, and 62% have done so in 2013. Now, of course, there's more online shoppers, and there's more people that are already shopping online are making more purchases and therefore more comfortable. So this number is only going to rise as e-commerce takes away more from the total retail sales. The other piece on this slide that's interesting is we wanted to understand when are consumers looking at returns policies? Are they looking at it before they purchase an item? Are they looking at it after they purchase an item, both before and after, or not at all? So one of the call-outs that you see here is that sort of darker blue section, 33% of consumers in 2012 said that they viewed it before they purchased an item, versus 38% in 2013. So a significant jump there. And then when you look both before and after, so you have to add that darker blue box to the kind of teal box, 66% said that they reviewed a returns policy before returning an item, and then 63% in 2012. So again, that becoming increasingly important, more people are looking at these returns policies. One of the takeaways, like I mentioned, was a clear and easy to understand returns policy, and that was consistent both this year and last year. So we got a lot of feedback from retailers wanting to understand, okay, well, what should these returns policies really look like? So this year we crafted sort of four returns policy scenarios and asked, how likely would you be to complete the sale if these were the following returns policies? So essentially the first one says you can return to the store for free or you can ship it back to the retailer for free, and we make it convenient by putting a prepaid label on the box. 82% said that they would complete the sale in that scenario. So no surprise, not shocking, you know, free is good. The second scenario is you can't return it to the store, but you can ship it back to the retailer for free, and then that drops down to 65% likely to complete the sale. The third scenario says you can return to the store for free or you can ship it back to the retailer, but you have to pay for the return shipping. So then right there you drop down to almost half of that first one at 44% likely to complete the sale. But the most offensive policy that we found is this last one, which is you can return to the store for free or you can ship it back to the retailer for free, but I'm going to charge you a restocking fee. Now, we know restocking fees are kind of more common in certain product categories than others, but this clearly is the one that most offends consumers and one that, if possible, would be best to avoid. So it drops all the way down to 34% likely to complete the sale. The last slide I'm going to share with you has to do with the elements of a best returns experience and kind of what is called out as some of those elements. Once again, not surprising, free shipping or free return shipping is something that is considered a part of a best returns experience. Secondly, however, is a no questions asked returns policy. So if I don't like the product, I don't have to worry about it and I can exchange it. 58% saying that's part of a best returns experience. But the third piece, and I think once again we can all relate to this as consumers, is simply convenience. So a return label right in the box in case I need to return it. And that, you know, there's a lot of great solutions that UPS offers with respect to these easy-to-print returns labels and having a returns label available right there to print off of a retailer's website. So these are some of the really important takeaways. This is just part of a larger study that we did. We wanted to kind of hone in on the areas that we thought would be good to review before you move into this holiday season. We highly encourage you to download the full study, which you get a lot more information. Like I mentioned, there's mobile and social trends and more detail around what we've reviewed today. And you can download that study at www.ups.com/ComScore 2013. And we can mention that again at the end, but I would encourage you because I think there's some really good elements and bits and pieces that you can take out of that to make sure that you're ready to go for your holiday season. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to John for his section.
That was fantastic. Thank you for all that information because a lot of it we know, but really to see it come through, it was really, I think some of those numbers were amazing. Thanks a lot, Melanie. Okay, so my name is John Lawson, and you are about to hear from me. Yeah, here we go. Selling online and selling more this season is really important for us, especially after a lot of things that happened to us in the last few seasons. We're seeing things are really starting to kick off. So one of the things that you're hearing, and I've been to several conferences, been on several calls, sat through many webinars, and everybody seems to be talking about mobile taking over, the laptop is dead, all that kind of good stuff. But in reality, is the laptop actually dead? Of course not. And is mobile taking over? Well, yeah, it kind of is. Because this year, or even in this quarter, PCs will actually get clipped by tablet sales. And it's kind of really changing the way we do things online. And if you just look at last year's numbers, you can see in the 2012 column that the percentage of change of people purchasing and making sales online on tablets rose by 156%. 156%. Cell phones rose by 32%. And I really think if you're looking at the projections, some of these projections might be a little bit low. So you're seeing in 2013, they're saying the projection will be around 87%. Smartphones, 47%. I think smartphones might actually bust that number out as people are doing more and more with those kind of technologies. So definitely be prepared. Definitely understand that this is something that we need to look at. But do we need to look at it right now? I'm not really sure because we're about to go into the holiday season. And since we are, like, almost there, I think it's really important that we do some of the small things to make sure that we can sell more right now. All right? So one of the things Melanie pointed out was about communicating to your customer about how the process is going to work. When am I going to get my stuff? And I think it's really important to communicate those dates right there on the landing page, right there on the buying page, so that people can understand when is the last day that I can order for Christmas delivery. That'll really cut down the confusion, but it'll also relieve a lot of questions that will come in to your customer support team. Don't make them answer questions that you can easily post, because everybody wants to know, will my product be here when the Christmas tree time, when the family people get around it, can it get there on time? So let them know what is the last date for regular shipping, what's the last date for two-day shipping, things like that. Communicate that. Make it nice. Prominent on your page during the holiday season will really, really help with conversion. Last year, we had something that I haven't seen in a while. And, well, I haven't seen ever before, basically. But it seems like Black Friday has become Black November because the Fridays seemed to last. They were rolling, rolling, and rolling. And what happened was I believe that the Great Recession gave us a little bit of a hangover, and retailers are constantly struggling to get people to buy more and buy now. So they don't even want to wait anymore for Black Friday. They are having sales now prior to Black Friday, so they'll have pre-Black Friday sales and pre-Thanksgiving sales, but then also all of this doorbuster sales that we used to see going on Black Friday are now being pushed even into Thanksgiving Day. So while some of us are sitting at home drinking beer, watching the Falcons, yay, that's my team, they're going to be on this year during Thanksgiving, they're actually having doorbuster sales for those who don't want to watch the game. And after you've done your turkey, you can actually get in. So think about that and how we as online retailers can get ahead of the curve as well for what I'm calling now Black November. A couple of dates that are interesting for you guys to know about that you might not have seen before. And there are opportunities for small and medium retailers to really get in and make more sales, do more promotions. One of them is from American Express. They came up with something called Small Business Saturday. And if you look, I remember when they first came out with this, it was something that was kind of catchy and it sounded good, but it didn't have a big following. But now, as of last year, 3.2 million people have actually liked that Facebook page. So that means those people are being communicated to about things that are going to go on sale on that Saturday. And if you don't know, of course, it's on November 30th this year, which is the day or the Saturday after Thanksgiving, the Small Business Saturday, where they, meaning American Express, are actually pushing money behind the marketing of this campaign on that Saturday. And if you register your business as one of the participants, then you have the ability also to jump in and really get some traction with customers on that Saturday who are looking for small and medium businesses to support on that Saturday after Thanksgiving. Another date that you might not have known about and one from UPS, which they call UPS Returns Day, which is January 2nd, 2014. That's the big holiday rush, or the second big holiday rush, as consumers will literally return more than a half a million packages in one day. And UPS is making that process easy for customers with a lot of their solutions. And if you just watch the blog at, you know, blog.ups.com, you can see more details as it moves closer. They do some things around the social media. They make it fun, and it's something that you might not know about and you want to maybe participate in as a retailer. Also, dates that you don't want to forget about is the holiday diversity dates. You know, there are a couple of holidays around it. That's why they call it the holiday season. I'm doing the air quotes, okay, because there are more than just two holidays. There are a couple of other holidays that run during this time. Hanukkah this year begins on the 27th of November and runs through December 5th, and then Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa always begins the day after Christmas, so it goes up to from the day after Christmas, December 26th, and then it ends on the first day of the new year, which is January 1st. If you've got products that you can actually market around those dates, just by the picture, I'm guessing candles would work. No, I'm serious. If you do have products that would work for those celebrating those holidays, you definitely want to think about how you're going to market to those segments that are celebrating those dates. Okay. So now I want to just really kind of talk about how to pimp out your PPC and PLA. And for those of you that don't know what that means, we'll go into it. All right? So PPC, pay-per-click, Google AdWords. That's been Google's main advertising product from the beginning of time when they decided they were going to start advertising on Google. And you've seen it. You know where it is. You know what it looks like. It's the ads right there on your search page. What's important to know about that is that you have to understand what the keywords are that are going to be really producing for you during the holiday season, and start thinking about getting your calendar together so you know when to amp up that money on those keywords based on consumer activity. This is the time right now to pull out last year's sales reports and find out what color actually sold better than the other color last year during this time of the season. It could be totally different than the color that might sell all through the season, but or through the year. And at just that holiday time, it's like, oh, wow, you know, all the time. I know for us, one of the things we sell is, you know, black. Black sells. It's all, you know, if it's a black hat, a black sweater, a pair of shoelaces, they all sell all year long. But in the wintertime, we get a lot of white stuff that sells that normally is not number one for us. So take a look at some of those past things so you know how to adjust your AdWords campaign. And while you're doing that, of course, you want to talk about product listing ads, which are the PLAs. Product listing ads is Google Shopping ads, and you've seen them too. They are the picture ads that go inside of the advertising section. And if you're not using Google PLAs, you might want to check that out. This is a good time of year to really test it and see if it's going to do for you what it's doing for a lot of people. It's really been a boom for Google. They're really talking about how much they are getting conversion based on these PLAs, product listing ads, and it's a good time in the third quarter to really try to throw some of that marketing budget at new things that you may not have played around with before. Facebook offers, you know, as a business, you can share your discounts right there on Facebook by posting it as an offer on the page. And you've seen these, but maybe you didn't know that they were actual Facebook offers. And you can, you know, determine how many you're going to offer, let people claim them. Once they claim them, then they get taken through the process of how to use it. And all they have to do is get the offer right there in their thread. That's the cool thing about Facebook offers, is that it comes right in the thread or right there on the phone when the customers log in. If it's relevant and you have identified that segment, you can actually get right in front of them with an offer. Not an advertisement, but a total offer, and people love to save money. The next one and the final one is Pinterest, an up-and-coming platform in the social segment. I think it's really, really doing great things. It's blowing up, and I really kind of see Pinterest, you know, kind of doing things that might make it into a paid platform that would be similar to what we're seeing with product listing ads on Google. So it's a good time right now, while it's still free, to go out there and play with Pinterest. And Pinterest has done some really neat things in the last couple of weeks, or at least in the last month, where they are making pins. So once somebody takes a pin of a product that is in your store, and if you reduce the price of that product, they will actually email that customer with notification that the product that they had pinned has gone down. So if you're reducing price, they will actually get notification. And it's, I think that taking, you know, social to another level. It's now social commerce, and Pinterest is one of the leaders in that. All right, here's some good tips about the servicing your customers after the sale, because I think it's one thing to make the purchase, but you actually make the connection with your customer after they have made their purchase, because the last thing that they see is that box when it comes to them, and that is the last impression you give of your business for that customer. So after the purchase, make sure you give them notification immediately, as soon as possible, that they have made the payment by sending them a confirmation email. Most platforms do that. So if you're on a platform, of course, they're going to get automatic notification. But if you're not and you're doing it on your website, make sure it's set up to give them immediate notification. Also, be optimized for all the possible ways people can actually come to your store, whether it be on a mobile platform or a desktop platform. That often is a different experience. And maybe you've only got one website and you can't really do a mobile website. I mean, you don't necessarily have to, but one of the things you might want to think about is making your buttons oversized, because that allows people to find it, click on it a lot better. Make that buy button big, man, I'm telling you, and put big letters on it. Don't make them look for the button, especially if I'm on my cell phone. I still need to get to that buy button, all right? Shipping and delivery notifications, make sure you have those dripped out for when the customer is expecting to get it. And the reason why I think it is important to have these kind of shipping and delivery notifications is because you reset the customer's expectation on when they're going to get the product. So maybe you have, you'll say, oh, we're going to be there in 3 to 5 days once you make your payment. So they make their payment, and they're starting to say, oh, 3 to 5 business days. But if you send them another one the day after saying, hey, your product has been packaged and is ready to be shipped, now they are resetting that mental clock. That's important, all right? It's definitely important for customer satisfaction. Package your items carefully, of course. Deliver on time and within the time frame that you say. I'm one of the believers in under-promise and over-deliver, so I definitely will pad my date some days for regular standard shipping so that they, you know, if I say 3 to 5 business days, knowing based on, you know, facts that I we're going to get that package to them in 2 days, when they see it arrive, they're like, oh, that's so shipping, the fastest shipping ever. Yeah, that's because I set the expectation a little bit higher. And then, of course, if there's issues coming up, especially around this holiday season, a lot of issues, things slow down just a little bit. So you definitely want to be aware of that and let the customer, or you'll just set the proper expectation. After the sale, after they get the product delivered, ask for feedback. Ask them, how was our service? And take that feedback, listen to it. If it's great feedback, that's the best thing you could ever put back on your page. User-generated content will get you more sales, and the best way to get user-generated content is to ask for it, all right? And, of course, if there's customer issues or complaints, it's good to know that, too, as fast as possible. And, of course, follow up. And I mean after the season is over, follow up with them with some couponing, get them back into the mix, back into spending money with you. This might have been the first instance they've had with you, the first experience they've had with you, because they had never been to you before, but they were looking for something. You happen to have it for the person they were shopping for. Now they've had a great experience. The person loved their gift. It's a great time to go back and ask them, hey, come back and shop with us, all right? Bang. She's happy. And she's happy because why? You put something inside the box. You know, I think our best converting coupon is the one that we put inside the box. And that's, and I see so many people that will deliver a package and put nothing to, in the box for me. Nothing. But if you put a coupon in the box, you'll be amazed at how many times people will use that. So think about that. All right? It's the holiday season. You've got to prepare for the increase. And with the increase of customers, the increase of sales, you know that there's going to be an increase for drama. So what you want to do ultimately is just make your policies known, make them easy to find, make them as simple as possible. And if we're talking about returns, I get it. Zappos can do free returns all day. I can't do that right now. I can't. My business is not set up. So just understand it doesn't always have to be free, all right? But we do love that word. Free is a great word, all right? Here's some important shipping days, or shopping days, not shipping days, important shopping days that you definitely want to be aware of. Black Friday, of course, November 29th. It's always the day after Thanksgiving, right? Oops, did I move? Oh, no, I got it. Okay. Cyber Monday, that following Monday after Black Friday. That's the time when online shoppers actually do more shopping. And the funny thing is that on Cyber Monday, there are more desktop shoppers than there are any other time of the year. And it's because a lot of people go back to work and they start doing their shopping on that desktop, on that laptop. So don't forget Cyber Monday. It's December 2nd. And, of course, we have another holiday you might not have known about, or another shopping day, not a real holiday. But it's called Green Monday. And Green Monday is always 2 weeks before Christmas, the Monday 2 weeks before Christmas. And eBay actually coined the term Green Monday because it was the most money spent on their platform every year. And so now a lot of us in the cyber community have taken that, and a lot of us that shop online know that, and they're being couponing and deals around that Green Monday. And one other you might not know about is Free Shipping Day. There's a website out there that supports Free Shipping Day. A lot of major retailers and small and medium businesses are registered as vendors for Free Shipping Day. This year, Free Shipping Day is December 18th. It's a promotional holiday, and even if you're not doing free shipping the rest of the year, you can actually get in and say, look, if you buy from us on this date, you get free shipping. Understand, guys, that this year is a very special year in terms of holiday season. Last year was an exceptional year because we had more holiday days in the calendar for shopping than we've ever had before. It's the most possible days between Thanksgiving and Christmas happened last year in 2012. We had 32 shopping days, and I believe we had 4 Mondays. And every Monday, it just got bigger and bigger and bigger in terms of volume and sales. This year, however, and it happens every time, when you have the most shopping days, the following year will be the least. So this year in 2013, we have the least shopping days between the holiday of Thanksgiving and Christmas. We're down to 26 days, so we have 6 less days to hustle, and we're going to hustle. That's for sure. We're going to get them to buy as much stuff as possible in those 26 days. All right, top 7 things that customers want, and it's almost a recap of a lot of things that Melanie said. But number 1, free shipping, absolutely. But, you know, look, I get it. You don't have the bandwidth to do free shipping. You don't you're not able to do it. Have you tested it, though? Do you know your numbers? Do you know your profitability on a product? Yeah, you probably do. And you know how much it costs to ship that product? Yeah, you probably do. And you know that every time we try free shipping, how many items actually sell versus how many used to sell? What was the uplift? I don't know, because I've never tried it. One of the things is I always tell people is at least test free shipping out, because you have no idea if people are sitting there waiting for or looking for a free shipping option that could literally blow out your numbers doing 200 and 300%. And we've seen this, 200 and 300% increase in buying rate just because it was free shipping, and it ended up literally paying for itself. But in order to do that, you got to test and you got to know your numbers. So just keep that in mind. Easy returns, absolutely. People want easy returns, and make it easy for them. Let them know exactly what the return process is, and they will be more than happy to oblige. Multiple payment options. I don't care how you pay me, just pay me. That's my thing. So make sure you give them the options that they need. Don't try to funnel them into too, small of a funnel for payment. People like multiple payment options, all right? And, of course, we're looking at the other shipping one at the bottom, and it's got, like, dates on it. People want to know when they're going to get their products. They like also having the ability to log in and save their data. And, finally, they really like to have multiple ways to get items shipped. Even as Melanie pointed out, they take the slower shipping, but as they move closer and closer and closer to the holiday season, rapid shipping becomes way more important. And think about using other options. If you can't do it in-house, same day or next day delivery, think about other options like using FBA, Facebook, fulfillment by Amazon, the FBA solution, which we do dabble with in the holiday season, just so we can grab some of the sales from those last-minute shoppers that have Prime accounts and want things delivered to them in a very timely manner. All right, just to recap, here's a couple of resources for you. We do a Hump Day Hangout every Wednesday. We talk about e-commerce things. You can go to Hump Day Hangout, find out about that. And the e-commerce group is an open and free group on Facebook. All you got to do is look for the e-commerce group in the Facebook search, or you can go to that link, theecommercegroup.org. My name is John Lawson. I'm from Colder Ice, and I appreciate your time and your chance to get down and talk with other merchants. Thanks. All right, I'm going to turn it back over to Joe.
Great. Thanks, John. We have a little time here for some question and answer with the audience. Just want to remind everyone that you can submit your questions to Melanie and John through the Q&A box on your console. So we'll jump in here and get started. The first question here I have is for you, Melanie, and it's in regards to the listing. The attendee wants to know, should their actual listing say that it is mobile sales friendly?
Yeah, I think that's a great way. If you have your website, if you're listing a product for sale on your website, if you want to have somewhere on your main site that you've got an M.dot site or some sort of mobile-friendly site, it certainly should say that, so that the next time someone who is, a mobile shopper knows that they can just access you via their mobile phone or their tablet. I think that's a great idea.
Okay. Next question I have here is in regards to some of the data that you were going over earlier, Melanie. The attendee said if 44% of the consumers are abandoning their cart because of excessive shipping time, what percentage of other consumers are abandoning their cart over excessive shipping costs?
So on one of the first slides that I showed, slide 5, I believe, in the presentation. I know you guys will get this presentation. We asked cart abandonment in not in a sort of pie like 1 out of 100, like a chip allocation question, but we asked it more if you've ever abandoned a cart and what are some of the reasons that you've done that for. And what we can say and what I pointed out is that 54% had said, so of the people that said, yes, I've abandoned a cart, which were 88%, 54% selected or checked that they had done so in the past because shipping costs made the total purchase more than expected. And that is a differential. It doesn't mean that 54% of the time it's because of shipping costs. It just means that that was selected frequently, and 54% have done so because of that. We don't have an actual question that did, you know, out of 100 times, what percentage breakout was it? But that basically tells you that the shipping costs, and the second one was, I wasn't ready to purchase and wanted to get an idea of the total cost with shipping for comparison. So, of course, they're using shipping as the comparison and often the wanting to know if that's going to push it over and make it more expensive. That was 50%. So I don't have an exact percentage I can give you, but I can tell you that that's frequently cited as one of the most the most sort of reason or the highest reason for why a cart is abandoned is because of shipping costs.
Okay, great. Looks like we have one here for you, John. That would, if you attendee wants to know if you plan to send out notices of a special or some sort of promotion, how far in advance of the event would you suggest?
I'm trying to understand. So if I'm like if I've got a special on the
I guess exactly, yeah, or around the specific event around the holidays, whether it be Black Friday, Cyber Monday.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I would start 7 days out and then start pushing again at 3 days, 2, 1. So 7, 3, 2, 1.
Okay.
Touch, touch, touch.
Great. Here's one that came in for you, Melanie. Can you provide any points of differentiation, or UPS provide any points of differentiation for serving the Canadian marketplace or other international markets?
Oh, that's a great question, and one that leads me to tell you that we have done the same survey for 12 other countries. So we, on September 26th, will be launching our UPS Pulse of the Online Shopper Global Study, and I'll tell you it covers Canada, Mexico, and the U.S., obviously, for North America. In Europe, we have 6 countries, Germany, Belgium, U.K., France, Netherlands, and Italy. And then in Asia, we have Singapore, Hong Kong, China, and Australia. So that global study will be available, and it's great because it compares kind of across regions. And there's also going to be available regional studies that would give you, for example, if you were interested in Asia, you know, the cross-country comparisons. They will be available at that same website I gave you, www.ups.com/comscore2013. So you'll have some information on global consumer needs.
Okay. John, this one might be for you here. Could you just walk attendees through a little bit about how you would actually run a Facebook offer or coupon?
Yeah, absolutely. What you want to do that makes it really simple is you want to go to facebook.com/business/offers, and it'll give you everything you need to know about how to increase your sales on Facebook using the Facebook offers that'll bring more people to your business, hopefully, by creating these offers. So facebook.com/business/offers.
Okay. Here's another one. You touched on Pinterest in your section of the presentation, John. Can you talk a little bit or kind of maybe drill down a little further into about Pinterest notifying about price changes for products?
Yeah. Pinterest actually put out a blog post on August 1st about it, and it was called Pin a Little, Save a Little. So if you just go to Google, type in Pinterest, pin a little, save a little, you'll find it. You'll find all the information. You as a retailer really don't have to do anything. It is something that once they pin from your site, if the price changes, Pinterest automatically notifies the people that have repinned your pin based on their notification system inside of Pinterest.
Okay, great. Melanie, we have one here back to the research, the ComScore study. That, can you talk a little bit about any demographic trends that you've sort of uncovered in the data?
Sure. Yeah, we did. We were able to cut the data in different ways and have done so for different retailers that we look with. I mean, I think just at a high level, what I'll tell you is that when it comes to cart abandonment, as an example, there are some differences between men and women. Women are more likely to have abandoned a cart because the shipping and handling costs were listed too late in the process. Also because the total cost with shipping was more than expected. So they were more likely to abandon carts for those reasons. We also saw that women were more patient in terms of days willing to wait for packages, and when they abandon a cart due to excessive shipping time, that excessive shipping time was longer. So, for example, 78% of males were jumping off or were only willing to wait, let's say, like up to 7 days. And 80% of females. So there were a little bit of a difference there between the days willing to wait from men versus women. And then another thing that was interesting that I remember is millennials. So we also wanted to see in terms of, you know, millennials, we typically hear they kind of want things faster. And we did find that, so we kind of checked for that. Generally speaking, millennials tended to want their shipments slightly faster than any other demographic group that we looked at. So that was interesting. Of course, we can cut it and look at it different ways. That would require, you know, specific, but you certainly can contact us to get more information.
Okay. John, here's one sort of a follow-up to that Pinterest question that you just responded to. Attendee wants to know, is the price change off of their – is it shown off their site or off the Pinterest listing?
It's shown on the Pinterest listing, and they also send an email to the Pinterest user that had pinned it, and it says something like, hey, good news about one of your pins, and it'll say the item has been reduced 15%. So you'll see it as a, you know, a number on that pin. It'll automatically update from your site on the actual pin, but also it will send them a notice in their inbox.
Okay, great. Well, we're just about out of time for today. I want to take this opportunity on behalf of Retail Online Integration and UPS to thank everyone for attending today's webinar. Also want to thank John and Melanie. I want to remind everyone to be sure to check out our webinar page to get information on all of our archived and upcoming webinars. And lastly, if you would take just a minute to fill out the brief feedback survey that will appear on your screen next, we'd be very grateful. Your feedback will influence the webinars we bring to you in the future. So with that, I hope to see you at the next Retail Online Integration webinar. Have a great day, everyone.